Could have sent the fucker a button or something.
We never did. Did we do buttons?
Yes, I've got them in the goddamn car.
Oh, yeah, we did buttons.
Yeah. They're like the old logo, the Up on Movies logo.
I hated that logo.
I liked it. I thought it looked good. It looked better than, and no offense.
Oh, the one I drew?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, that was.
And that showed up in my time hop the other day. Like, but that was all we had at the moment.
I know. I know. And I agree that it said Up on Movies, which is not the name of the show, but it looked somewhat presentable. I like the one we have now. It's great. I just have a shit ton of Up on Movies buttons. So
yeah.
They got to go.
Should be a spinoff show. Up on Movies.
It's your news episodes.
Yeah, because you're up to date.
Exactly.
Maybe we'll start doing that.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. No names, no badges, no mercy. That's exactly the three sentences I would use to describe my podcast partner, Mr. Dave Becella. That is his name.
Mercy free.
That's Dave. I'm Ryan. We are Movies on Up. No names, no badges, no mercy is our tagline for this week. If, like Dave, you know what movie that comes from, I'd love to hear about it in one of the three following ways. You can send your guests to us via email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guests on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your answer to Mr. Mike Mann, manning the Twitter, @MoviesOnUp on the Twitter, if you are correct, like Dave was. And if we choose you, like I did not pick Dave, you may win a Movies on Up prize package, which actually will contain a badge. A Movies on Up.
Up on Movies button.
Indeed, that is a collector's item, if there ever were one. We have a great episode for you today, if there ever was one. Black Mass is out in theaters this week, and it's a movie that Dave and I are both pretty excited to see. I like to see some Johnny Depp. Like to see him this way, doing a character that's not Tim Burton.
With some Benedict Cumberbatch, some Joel Edgerton.
Two of Dave's favorites. If only we could have figured out a way to smash Tom Hardy and Mike Fassbender in there.
Well, you got Dakota Johnson in there.
She's a girl, though.
I'll take it.
Okay, fair enough. We kind of mentioned in our fall preview episode a couple weeks ago that this fall / winter, there are going to be a lot of gangster flicks, some even biopic gangster flicks, which is exactly what you have here in Black Mass. It got Dave and I to thinking, what are our favorite gangster movies? And we wanted to be kind of specific with it because Whitey Bulger was a American who was a gangster. We wanted to stick with American gangster movies. There's a plethora of British stuff we could have got into that actually would be a fun list to do if we haven't already done it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think Dave could probably rattle off.
Easier than this one.
Yes, it probably would be. There were movies I was like, oh, no, wait. They were all English. I can't put that on here. But I am dying to hear what movies you did put on here, Dave. Your fifth favorite American gangster movie.
My fifth is the time-old story of a guy trying to get out of the mob life.
But they just keep pulling them back.
And then the mob life finds them. It is 2005's A History of Violence, directed by David Cronenberg, starring Ed Harris, Viggo Mortensen, Maria Bello, William Hurt. You have Viggo Mortensen trying to live the family life with his hot wife and their stairs and their kids.
And their stairs.
And he ends up beating some dudes up. And then
he's got a history of that.
Yeah.
If you want to hear.
Nah. Good old Ed Harris shows up. And then his past comes out. So, I mean, this isn't really a story about a guy in the midst of it like Whitey Bulger in Black Mass. But still, he was a mob enforcer. And now the mob's coming back for him. So I think it fit. I love this movie. It's a slower burn than you expect. This was that Cronenberg, Viggo Mortensen back-to-back
Eastern Promises
and this.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, both of those movies are phenomenal. I think Eastern Promises.
I don't think that counts for this list.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
But I tried to. But instead, I put A History of Violence at my number five.
That one does count. That's fine. I do love both of those movies. And to me, like, the ending of this one really stays with you. I loved what Viggo, and I still like what Viggo's doing. It was kind of an interesting departure from knowing him for the Lord of the Rings stuff, and then even that Hidalgo movie, like, okay, I get
he's
it.
Naked, beating up a dude in the bathroom.
In the bathhouse. Yeah, I mean, those were just so, and you hate to say, like, gritty, because it's almost like a cliche at this point. But, I mean, that's kind of Cronenberg's wheelhouse. And, I mean, those two guys worked really, really well together and made some awesome movies. And I like that one a lot. My number five American Gangster movie is from 2007. Ridley Scott's American Gangster, aptly named for this list, starring Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe, and Chiwetel Ejiofor. This one is sort of in honor of the crime biopics that are coming out this fall. Washington plays Frank Lucas, who was a legit gangster. And in typical Denzel fashion, I think he plays him with kind of a certain amount of humanity and charm, where a bit like he did in Flight, a terrible character with some really miserable flaws about him, but you still rooted for him. He was kind of the de facto protagonist.
Yeah,
if you want to call it in the movie. And American Gangster, I think on some levels, Frank Lucas is not as bad of a guy as his captain from Flight, but still a gangster. And I think he manages to kind of pull it off as much a community benefactor as an actual gangster. Russell Crowe is pretty consistent in this. He does like the Russell Crowe thing where he's just sort of the dogged.
He's the Russell Crowe of the story.
Yeah, exactly. He's the Russell Crowe of this movie where he just plays Russell Crowe trying to get Frank Lucas. I think that it has less in the way of shootouts that something like Public Enemies did. That was right around about the same time. Again, true crime, the biopic, the John Dillinger story with Johnny Depp. But I think that this did a much better job of kind of letting you into who Frank Lucas was. It does a better job of kind of setting up the characters than Public Enemies did. And John Dillinger is a cool enough character that you would think that that movie should have been much better than it was. But I think this was a good example of how to do a good crime biopic.
John Dillinger did a lot of stuff near my hometown growing up, or not when I was growing up, but when he was younger.
So, I knew you were old. But
so I had John Dillinger kind of like pumped in my brain when I was younger. So like I was excited for a John Dillinger movie, and then that came out. Something I was a little bit more pleased with, staying with that theme of crime biopics, more specifically crime biopics starring Johnny Depp. It is 1997's Donnie Brasco, starring Johnny Depp, Al Pacino. Johnny Depp is Donnie Brasco, who is an FBI agent that goes undercover into the mob and maybe goes a little too deep undercover, where he starts identifying with that life more than his other life. Really, really good. Not breaking any news here. Johnny Depp can act. And this was Johnny Depp not being a character. Like, this was Johnny Depp playing Donnie Brasco, and he was phenomenal. You have Al Pacino before Al Pacino was a punchline. The two of them together was really, really compelling. Mike Newell directed it, did a fantastic job, and it's a fascinating story. Donnie Brasco's got an amazing story to tell, and I thought they did a pretty damn good job of telling it in this movie. Mostly based on strong performances, but it's just a really cool story also.
I like this movie a lot. I think Pacino, when you want to do a gangster list, it'd be very hard to leave Pacino off just because of kind of what he's got as far as his career goes. But this, I thought, was a great role for him because he's not like the kingpin. He's like the underling who's kind of dumb. He's kind of dim. Like, he's taken Donnie Brasco under his wing and he's trying to teach him everything he knows, not knowing that the guy's a fed. It seemed like going from the top of the podium to the bottom. So that was cool. I like that one a lot. My number four is kind of I feel like it's a typical me pick because it's an old ass movie. And it may be less in terms of like gang in organized crime, but it's a group of criminals that sort of put themselves together into a gang. It is Stanley Kubrick's 1956 Jam, The Killing, starring Sterling Hayden and his giant jaw, Colleen Gray and Vince Edwards. More often than not, movie mobsters, no matter how cool they seem, all seem to kind of share a similar fate. Yeah, when you have stories based on real gangsters like John Dillinger, you kind of know how it ends. Mostly not well. But I think that in The Killing, Hayden puts together this crew. He's trying to get out of the life, not unlike Vigo had done in History of Violence. But he wants that one last score to set him up so that he can get out comfortably and go off into the sunset with his best gal. So the idea is to kind of knock over this illegal counting room in a racetrack. And the scheme that they have seems directly out of an Ocean's 11 movie. They've got a sniper that's going to shoot the favorite horse and cause a diversion over there. They've got a wrestler that's going to start a bar fight over here. Just have all sorts of misdirection, and everybody's going to be able to get out and get their cut in time. If you ever wondered what Ocean's 11 might be like if it was grounded in
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, directed by Stanley Kubrick, or grounded in reality. Because let's be honest, these intricate plots, they're probably not going to work out. It's the robberies that are perpetrated by buffoons that do end up working out because they're that, in their simplicity, that's where it seems to work. And the best laid plans of Johnny Clay's men in this one just sort of unravel. And it's almost from the start of the movie. They're fictional characters, so in theory, you know, this could work, and they could all make it out alive and without getting arrested, and they all could get their money. But you almost seem like, from the way Kubrick sets the tone right from the very beginning of the movie, that these guys are losers. And no matter what they do, it could seem like, oh, this is gonna work. It just doesn't. And things seem to unravel in the most sort of ludicrous ways. Like, just when you think it can't get worse, it does. I love me some Stanley Kubrick, and if I can sneak a movie of his on a list at any time, I certainly will. This is obviously very early Kubrick, and it's one that I don't think people appreciate as much as, you know, like Dr. Strangelove, or take your later Kubrick movies, The Shining, whatever. This is awesome. I happen to love film noir anyway, and this does have some elements of that in it. And I think it's also a good gangster story.
I'm justifying my number three with a lot of the same reasons you just did. It doesn't focus on the mob necessarily, but all the mob is just an organized criminal organization. So much like your The Killing, my number three is a group
from 1956.
Is a group of criminals coming together to perform organized heists. And what criminal in the history of the world has ever been more organized than Kaiser Sose of 1995's The Usual Suspects? There aren't enough words to explain
how much
I love this movie.
I'm excited that this is your number three. On any other list, this is one.
Yeah, it would have been higher, but I felt like I was bending my own rules a little bit to put it on there.
Okay.
So I didn't want to have a Your Highness scenario where I just completely disregard the rules.
The sword and sandal flick.
And put, yeah.
That
and,
great
and
one.
Put it number one. This movie's phenomenal. I mean, I'm not breaking news there that The Usual Suspects is a good movie. Christopher McQuarrie's script is damn amazing. I love this, and I love Way of the Gun, which was his follow-up to this and his directorial debut.
That is an episode that we need to do.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. We just haven't.
I love that movie so much. But it's so good how it's done with the storytelling between Chaz Palminteri and Kevin Spacey, Gabriel Byrne being built up, Stephen Baldwin actually looking like an actor, Benicio Del Toro crushing it, stealing every scene he's in. This movie is so good. I mean, you can leave it at that. Like, it's beautifully directed. It's beautifully acted. It's amazingly written. I don't have anything bad to say about this movie.
This is kind of the movie where I was like, oh, shit, Kevin Spacey is amazing. I love villain Kevin Spacey. Villain Kevin Spacey turns in, like, some of my favorite movies ever. This, Seven, if we did a top five villain Kevin Spacey flicks, it would be very hard to decipher which is number one.
Superman Returns.
Well, that one would not be number one, but I still liked his Lex Luthor. This hipped me to so many things. Obviously, Spacey, Bryan Singer. To this day, it's still one of my favorite movies. The ending is somehow satisfying. Like, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But it's, you're just like, oh,
and the thing
shit.
It's still awesome how it plays out.
Kevin,
like,
Spacey is Kaiser Sose. I don't know if we've mentioned that, but
oh yeah, yeah. If you haven't
when
seen,
when I said villain Kevin Spacey, it's like, well,
if you haven't seen Usual Suspects yet, rewind and stop listening. but like something like from a couple years later, like The Sixth Sense, that twist kind of unfulfilling now because you know it's there.
Yeah,
this is still just the way it plays out, like. It's almost like every time you watch it, you're convinced Gabriel Byrne is Kaiser Soze. And then, oh, crap, he's not. Like, it's almost like every time it gets you.
And you know it, and you're trying to.
Yes.
You're watching like, okay, wait, now I'm looking
Maybe
for
I'm
this crap.
Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. Maybe yeah. I'm like,
Maybe this time it'll be different.
Yeah, but the payoff is so great, and 20 years later, it's still awesome. Like, I could still watch this movie, and it holds up.
Yeah, we just watched it a couple months ago. It's one of Sarah's favorite movies, which is really kind of weird for her. She goes from Love Actually to The Usual Suspects, but I'm okay. We'll watch that one all day. My number three, I think our lists are going to get really interesting from here on out, because my number three is a movie that I feel like it's on the level of A Usual Suspects, and it's only my number three. It is from 1992. It follows a lot of what you said. It's not the mob in that it's organized Italian crime. It's a group of criminals who don't really know each other's names, all put together by Joe Cabot. It's 1992's Reservoir Dogs, directed by Quentin Tarantino, starring Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, and Mike Madsen. I didn't know at the time I watched this, but this movie has all the things that I really like about gangster flicks. For starters, some damn snazzy dressing. Those suits to this day are still snazzy as hell. Quick, snappy dialogue. In the 40s, you get a lot of the gumshoe kind of dialogue. This is obviously an updated version of that. And I love the idea of there's no honor among thieves. Like, the criminals can't seem to trust each other. And they almost, as expected as it is that they're going to pull off a heist, it's equally as expected that they're going to turn on each other one way or the other. The opening scene of this movie, where they're at the diner discussing tipping, is one of my favorite movie scenes ever, because it's kind of what got me to realize that not everything on the screen at all times has to advance the plot. That really doesn't advance. I mean, it kind of sets up Tarantino's character, who's not a giant character in the film. He's kind of inconsequential overall, but it's somewhat of a non sequitur, but it's still so interesting.
Royale with cheese. Like, that's a Tarantino staple. And
you're exactly right. That's kind of what he does. But at
all
this point,
the Kurt Russell, his Grindhouse one.
It is sort of a staple of QT. And I hadn't quite picked it up at that point. I certainly hadn't seen it in any other filmmakers. And I'd make the argument that nobody does it better than him still. But it's something that I've appreciated in movies since then. Something else that he does wonderfully is, as much, you know, as this is Harvey Keitel's movie, the soundtrack is sort of the star of the movie as well. And it provides as much color as any of the colorfully named bank robbers. I would defy anybody that's seen this movie to hear Stuck in the Middle with You and not think about creepy Michael Madsen dancing around with a straight razor and a can of gas. I may mention it again later, who's to say, but I really love Tarantino flicks, and I like this one an awful lot. It is, I mean, it's about a bank or a group of jewel thieves, so they're all gangsters in a respect, and Joe is kind of the head of the criminal organization. If we could only reach Joe. I think it has all the things to belong on this list, and I love it, so that gets on there too.
I mean, like, I guess we could rename this favorite American organized crime movies. It makes sense.
Yeah.
My number two, kind of going on the other side of that, not necessarily about the criminals and the mob, but it's about a group of cops getting together to stop Al Capone and the mob. It is 1987's The Untouchables, directed by Brian De Palma, starring De Niro, Sean Connery, Kevin Costner as Elliot Ness. This is movie star Costner. Costner, especially the 80s and early 90s,
right.
A phenomenal movie star. One of the best movie stars in my lifetime that I can think of. Like, he had a run where everything he was doing, there was something about Kevin Costner on screen that was amazing. This is no exception. And you put him with Sean Connery, their dynamic between the two. I know we've talked about this movie before. I don't remember.
I've had it on a list.
I've had it on at least one or two lists before, but I couldn't leave it off here, because when it comes to mob movies, like, this is one of the ones that I think of first, without a doubt, because it's awesome. And I had high hopes for Gangster Squad a few years ago, which is pretty much telling the same story, just much, much more terribly. This is just a great crime story, because, yeah, they're cops, but they were kind of playing by their own rules.
Yeah, I mean, they formed sort of their own
hit squad.
Yeah, and I guess in some manner of speaking, they sort of became criminals. or at least they operated outside of the law. And the Untouchable Squad themselves were sort of an organized, I mean, I would call assault a crime. So they were organized in that fashion. And God, the lines that Connery has in this one, like, you know, they send one of ours to the hospital, you send one of theirs to a morgue. It's great. And as much as it's movie star Costner, it's movie star Connery.
Oh,
like,
yeah, without a doubt.
Absolutely central casting. Like, hey, we need an Irish cop guy. Well, he's Scottish. Same difference. He's got an accent. Get him
in
here.
And he's been gone for so long that I don't think people remember how big Connery was in the 80s and 90s. The guy was headlining movies at however old he was. He was probably 70 by then, but he was an old dude headlining movies and going toe-to-toe with Costner and De Niro and just crushing it. He's just as, you know, empirical to this movie. That's not the right word.
Imperative. Or yes. He's just as important. Let's use a different I word.
He's just as empirical. He's just as imperative to this movie as De Niro and Costner. And he brings a lot because he brings that wise guy kind of persona to it. It's such a good movie.
Awesome movie. My number two. We're on number two.
I'm done with my number two.
Yeah, well. Mine also stars Gabriel Byrne, John Turturro, Marcia Gay Harden. It is from 1990. It's the Coen Brothers' Miller's Crossing. This, I think, is easily the most underappreciated movie on my list. Probably the most underappreciated Coen Brothers movie, period. It sort of manages to combine all the tropes that I've already mentioned about gangster movies with the dark humor that I think the Coens are fantastic for, that's on full display in something like Fargo. You add in a touch of film noir, which, again, that's kind of an easy way to get to me, is film noir. And then I love the fact that they drew heavily on Dashiell Hammett dialogue and put it right in this movie that really kind of gives it that feel of like Prohibition era gangsters. If you haven't seen this and you're a fan of the Coen Brothers, I think you'd really do yourself a favor to go back and watch it. I think it's actually probably Turturro's best work that he's done with the Coens. It's really, really dark humor, and it still feels like a good, authentic gangster movie. Like, Untouchables feels very much a part of or authentic to the time it's portraying in the movie. To me, Miller's Crossing, like, it's that Prohibition, it's that Al Capone era. It's just kind of removed into a completely fictional city and completely fictional characters, but it still feels like, oh yeah, I'm sure this was probably going on somewhere during that time. Now I want to know, what movie on this list, I mean, I already know one movie on this list that's better than The Usual Suspects, but I want to know the movie that is number one on your list, on a list that contains The Usual Suspects.
It's a movie that we've talked about before. It came up as my favorite movie featuring a certain actor on an episode. It's about a hitman, a longtime mob hitman, who's deciding to get out and spend more time with his son, but the mob don't like that. Mom no likey. It is 2002's Road to Perdition, starring Tom Hanks, directed by Sam Mendes, Jude Law, Daniel Craig, Paul Newman. Yes, as much as I love The Usual Suspects.
I see it now, yeah.
Yeah, and as much as The Usual Suspects like hit me at the right time in my life, like at the end of my high school career, it shaped me a lot. So, I mean, personally, maybe Usual Suspects impacted my life a little bit more. But when it comes down to just a movie, Road to Perdition's hard to beat. As perfect as I think Usual Suspects is, Stephen Baldwin is not Tom Hanks. Jude Law is awesome. Paul Newman is awesome in this movie. It's beautifully directed. Like, Sam Mendes has an Oscar for a reason. It's an amazing, amazing story. It's got that father-son story. It's got the violence. It's got everything I love about a movie and about a crime movie, which is one of my favorite genres. So when you can make a movie in one of my favorite genres and make it this good, it's going to be hard to top. And I could easily switch probably Road to Perdition and Usual Suspects, but from a movie standpoint, as perfect as Usual Suspects is, I feel like Road to Perdition is even better.
It sounds condescending for me to say what movie displaced Usual Suspects, because I specifically did not put Road to Perdition on here because I know how much you love it, and I'm not at all shocked that that's the movie that did it. And I have no arguments because it is flawless. I'm excited anytime there's a Bond movie that comes out. I don't care. But when I heard that Sam Mendes was going to start directing James Bond movies, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be phenomenal. And they have been.
And it's paid off for
them. Right, exactly. They have been phenomenal. And this movie is great. Tom Hanks, obviously, you say that Mendes has an Oscar for a reason. Tom Hanks has an Oscar for a reason.
He's got a couple.
Right, exactly. So I'm not breaking news saying that he's a great actor, but this is one of my absolute favorite Tom Hanks performances, and it's a performance that's not gimmicky. And I don't mean to say that Forrest Gump is gimmicky or Castaway is gimmicky or even Philadelphia is gimmicky. This is him just a man. There's nothing particularly wrong with him other than, you know, his vocation, but just being a man who's trying to spend time with his and protect his son is it's one of my favorite Hanks performances.
And on paper, Tom Hanks is terrible casting because Tom Hanks is known for this charisma and this likability.
And you don't assume that he's going to be a hitman.
Yeah.
You don't feel threatened by him.
A blank hitman that's – he lacks all the qualities that Tom Hanks' characters generally do. He doesn't have that lovability. He doesn't have that, I want to go have a drink with that guy. Like, that's what Tom Hanks excels at. And this – speaks a lot for his talent because this is such an anti-Tom Cruise role. Like, this is a Viggo Mortensen role, and Tom Cruise nails it. Tom Hanks nails it.
Tom Cruise could probably do it. What the hell?
Tom Hanks just destroys it, and it's such a role you don't expect from Tom Hanks, which is why he's going to go down as one of the best ever. I can't see it being topped. Like, to this day, it's my favorite Tom Hanks movie, and it's going to be hard to top it.
You don't see Bridge of Spies doing it?
No,
I probably don't either.
Maybe that new Robert Langdon joint if they ever make one. Is that the dude's name?
What's that?
Da Vinci? Is that the...
I don't... Robert Dan Langdon? Brown?
He wrote it, yeah. I think Robert Langdon's the character.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Whatever. My number one is not based off a book. It doesn't have Tom Hanks in it. But many of the things that you said about Usual Suspects, where it's just like right movie, right time, this is absolutely right movie, right time for me. And it's another Tarantino movie. It's Pulp Fiction from 94, starring John Travolta, Sammy Jackson, Bruce Willis. As much as the ball washing I did for QT on Reservoir Dogs, it probably is a better fit for this list than is Pulp Fiction. But I love this movie. I mean, really, what is it about? There's several different stories, but many of them, Vincent Vega and the Jules stories, they're mob hitmen. That's what they do.
Marcellus Wiley.
Right, who is a mob kingpin. So I don't feel like I'm really cheating to get it on here. But even if I am, I don't give a shit because what are you going to do? Like, fire me?
It's an American crime movie. It, I mean,
absolutely.
100%.
And if it weren't for this movie, like, I'm not doing this podcast. As much as I said that Reservoir Dogs changed the way I watched movies, I don't watch Reservoir Dogs if I don't see Pulp Fiction first. It came out later. But this was the one that I sat down and I was like, oh, shit. The movies are completely different now. Obviously, you know, the nonlinear storytelling and all that stuff. Yeah, maybe now it seems gimmicky because it's been done so much. But it completely changed the way I thought about movies. That they're not just point A to point B. Everything moves the plot along. Everything's explained. You know exactly who all the characters are. I could honestly do an entire podcast on just this movie. And for Travolta to play a character like Vincent Vega, to be so cool throughout the entirety of the movie, no matter what the situation
Vinnie Barbarino.
Is. Exactly. And he's kind of playing Vinnie Barbarino, but like after he gets out of high school, what's he do for a living? Well, he just goes around and whacks people, I guess. All the characters from this movie are great. I mentioned kind of the two big ones. I love Booch. Bruce Willis is great in the movie. I would absolutely watch a spinoff just about Harvey Keitel's character, the Wolf, as the fixer. Every story from this, Walken is amazing telling the story about the watch. Every bit of this movie just engrosses me. Again, whether it has anything to do with the larger plot or not, if it's just an explanation of why Bruce Willis's character really likes this watch, it's a phenomenal movie, and it's why I will always, whenever there's a Tarantino movie, I don't care I will drop whatever I'm doing and I will watch it because what he did in this movie just impacted me so much.
I mentioned it on one of the news episodes a few weeks ago when the Hateful Eight trailer came out. Tarantino, we're going to be talking about him in 50 years. 50, 75 years, like they're going to look back and what he's done for filmmaking is so powerful. And much like I said, Road to Perdition will always be my favorite Tom Hanks movie. I feel like this will always be the quintessential Quentin Tarantino movie.
Quintessential Quentin.
Yeah. So when they start film classes in 2074, this is what they're going to start with. Reservoir Dogs is great, but yeah, this is Quentin Tarantino. Everything that made Quentin Tarantino, Quentin Tarantino, is in this movie. And it's great. It's phenomenal. And it was on my radar, but I had a feeling you would have it or Reservoir Dogs.
So you were right.
I left them off because I figured one, we'd be able to talk about the other. I had a few also-rans.
Yeah, I would bet. Yeah, and they're probably pretty good, too.
The Iceman
from
a couple years ago with Chris Evans and Michael Shannon. One that I left off because I thought you might have it on, L.A. Confidential.
I wanted to. I mean, I love film noir. I love neo-noir, too. L.A. Confidential is really good. But, again, this list is so hard because there's only five movies. Like, which one do you want to take out?
Knock Around Guys, which is Sons of Mobsters. I put it on a list not too long ago. Bottle Rocket, James Caan's character.
Yeah.
And Dark Knight. Like, it was very hard to leave Dark Knight off. I mean, that's one of the best American crime movies. We talked about Heat in our preamble before this. I love Heat. It's a perfect movie to me. It probably would have been, you know, up there
number two.
It probably would have been, but there's not much of an organized, like, it seemed like everybody's working for themselves in that.
Especially after things go south.
Yeah, so I didn't really consider it it's a crime movie for sure, but I was trying to stick with organized crime. And the sad thing is I just rattled off like 10 movies. I know I missed some. Yeah. I had to have missed some.
The Drop, I really like a lot.
The Drop was phenomenal.
Although they're in America, but I don't think any of them are really American gangsters. They were European or something.
Yeah. I mean, The Drop is that was a phenomenal movie.
I like John Wick a lot, which
he was a hitman.
Yeah, him. It's him getting out.
Taking
down
the Russians, I guess.
Yeah. We're probably remiss by leaving off the holy trilogy of like American gangster movies.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, all the Beverly Hills Cop films. There's no mention in this list of The Godfather
or Casino.
Goodfellas. And of course, when we said American Gangster, even quicker to my mind than the movie actually called American Gangster was Goodfellas. Because I love that movie. It is an absolute masterpiece. It's perfect. But I kind of thought, oh, yeah, that's going to come to everyone's mind. So, you know, let me talk about Pulp Fiction, which may not occur to you, but I still don't think it's that much of a stretch. And Dave's never seen Godfather, so I didn't want to spoil it for
him. Yeah, I haven't. But I know the third one blows.
Yeah, more or less. But, there's some steps in that movie, though.
Yeah, I mean, this was hard. I mean, this one was hard because I know I missed some.
Yeah, I guarantee we've left off some phenomenal movies, and
I know there's movies I love that I forgot that I'll kick myself if you remind me of them.
Yeah, so please help Dave kick himself. Send us your thoughts, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet some stuff directly at us. We're kind of doing that now. It'll reach Mike Mann, and he can disseminate that information to us @moviesonup on the Twitter, or get at our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. Let us know your favorite American gangster movies. We would love to hear them. Next week, we will be back with one of my favorite Star Wars movies. It is our final Star Wars episode of the year.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi. We've talked your ear off about Star Wars for, I would say, at least the last six months. After we get through Jedi, we're going to do a little Star Wars moratorium for the rest of the year, until 2016, where we'll start off the year in full force, talking all about The Force Awakens.
The Force will awaken.
Yeah, indeed, as will we in 2016. But Jedi next week, and then after that,
October, isn't it?
We have one more before October, and it's a very near and dear one to my heart.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do our fantasy film ball draft. There are a lot of, like, fantasy movie games now, but fantasy film ball is really the godfather of them, and it's by far the most complex. So if you've played with us before, start thinking about it now. We're going to do our draft on the 29th. We'd love for you to email in your draft picks before or after spring.
And I was right, because later that week we put up our first October episode.
Yes, indeed.
And then two episodes a week all through October.
Yeah, Halloween. I say it like Halloween's the entire month.
It's the month, yeah.
But October is always a big month around Movies on Up parts, and we're excited to get there. So we'll start off actually on the first or thereabouts. We'll give you a big list of 31 movies to check out in October. So that's kind of setting the table for you for the next 2-3 weeks. So hope you're digging what we're doing. If not, you let us know. We're always willing to change things. But we will return next week with the rest of the Jedi. But until then,
keep it up.